It's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
Gemma's running that team. Gemma's running you.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, let me shake hands with you. You come in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I'll tell you nothing but a couple of pints, won't you? I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Chester.
Yes, and welcome along to the Donegal GAA podcast with Ocean FM. Paddy McGill here, as always. And it's podcast 4 out of 5 this week as we build up to Sunday's showcase event in the GAA football calendar. Donegal taking on Kerry in the All-Ireland football final in Croke Park. You might hear a lawnmower in front of me. Where am I here on day 3? I am at my own club of Ardra, although I haven't contributed as much as the man sitting beside me to the club as he smiles. I am delighted to be joined by the first ever Donegal man to get his hands on Sam Maguire, the great man from Limagoura, Anthony Molloy, a neighbour of my own. Anthony, how are you?
I'm great, Paddy, and it's great being here today with you as well, and on such a beautiful day here in the Peace Memorial Park here in Ardra, Paddy.
Anthony, there's some buzz around. I was in so many towns over the past couple of days, and we're only a few days out now from that showcase event. The flags are out in every single house. It's just pandemonium at the moment, isn't it?
Look, it certainly is. Like, and there's a huge week ahead of us yet, Paddy, and there's a huge build-up, as you know, and a huge momentum, and sure, it's great to be here. Like, and you know, it's so hard getting there, Paddy. It's unbelievable. Like, and it's hard to believe that we've only this our fourth All-Ireland. We're contesting on Sunday, and so it is hard to get there. And you know, fair play to Jim. He came back in 2 years ago again, like, and he's rejuvenated the whole thing, and he's just done a massive job since he came back.
You know Jim very well, and actually he mentioned your name in the press conference as well. He was just referring to, he remembers Anthony Molloy saying, you know, your career won't be long till, he was referring to the Donegal lads. The years just go round so, so fast, don't they?
Yeah, look, that reminds me, like, when I came on the scene in late 82, and you know, we won the Under-21 that year, and then we won the Ulster Championship in 83, and you know, we lost to Galway that year by a fluke goal, and like, I was just in around 20 at the time, and you know, I thought I was going to be here every single year, you know, but that's not the way it happens. And as you know, Ulster being so competitive even back then, like, it was a very competitive province, and you know, it took us 6 years later to get back into an Ulster final, and after a drawn game, Tyrone went on and beat us that year, but we came back, we had a few good years around that time, like, but it's not easy getting there, Paddy, like, and I suppose sitting here and looking out here, Paddy, I'm very privileged and grateful to have captained that great side of 92.
I know you've spoke about it at length so much, and again, going back to Jim on Monday, like, he was talking about Kerry's almost a rite of passage in many ways, because you were there in the breakthrough of the year. We have to appreciate every single one of them. Kerry have, I think, won 38 and lost 24 finals. And you would know from the Molloy crew in New York, and you were there yourself for a while, and you know loads of them I know over there. They do almost feel like there's an entitlement and a divine right. You're not just taking on a football team when you're taking on Kerry, are you?
No, that, you know, I suppose quite rightly so. Look at, you know, they are the team down the years, like, and some great, great Kerry teams down the years, you know, and supposed to have a right to think that way, and you know, and suppose up here, up north, like, you know, we have a championship of our own up here compared to other provinces. I have to say that, and like, you know, this is our 11th game next Sunday, and which is tough going, like, and at the moment, like, it is competitive. We are in a very competitive province up here, and you know, with games coming thick and fast too, like, you know, and not much rest time, it is difficult, like, and you know, it's a great thing to say that we have won two Ulster back-to-backs, like, since Jim came back, and now we're in an All-Ireland final, like, and hopefully we can get past this last step, this is the last rung of the ladder on Sunday.
When Jim was a young man in the early 90s and he was in the dressing room, did you see then what he could become as a manager, of course, from our neighbouring club. But I know you know the McGuinness family so, so well.
Ah, look, me and the McGuinness family go back a long way from me school days. I spent 5 years in the comprehensive school in Glenties, like, and I got to know the McGuinness family very, very well in them years. And I'm going back to the 70s, like, Jim was on the panel as well in 92, and even at that time he stood out, a big, big, tall figure, like, with dreadlocks, you know, but he stood out in them days. And Jim himself was a fantastic footballer, like, and just probably he came along in an era, you know, that they just couldn't, and they had fantastic players in Jim's time as well, you know, the Adrian Sweeneys, you know, the Damien Divers of this world, the Brian Ropers, like, but they just couldn't make a breakthrough, you know.
What can you actually remember? What you were feeling in the 4 or 5 days leading up to it? Because it's carnage now. 92 must have been on a different Richter scale, because we keep saying that term. It was the breakthrough year. Can you remember how you were feeling personally just leading up to it? Was there baggage? Was there nerves?
There's always nerves, like, and, you know, that's natural. But I think at that time, you know, Brian McAniff had instilled a lot of self-confidence in us, you know, we knew what we were facing that day as well, like, and suppose, you know, we had played Dublin in a quarter final in Omagh that same year, like, of the National League, like, and we were going well, we were winning, I think about 3-4 minutes left, we were leading by 3 or 4 points, like, and the bowler, Lenny Murphy, comes in and he throws in 2 goals, you know, and again, a huge disappointment after playing really, really well, like, that day. And so, look, we knew ourselves, we were quietly confident that we could match that Dublin team, you know, come the All-Ireland time, you know, because it was nearly the same team we played anyway, you know, there was out against us in Oma on that particular day. Like, and to be fair, like, Brian, we started a wee bit in that year, you know, of analysing games as well, like, which we never done prior to that, you know. So it was all new as well for us, like, but we had a great squad of probably natural footballers as well, like, very natural footballers, like, with loads and loads of ability, like, and I suppose we were one of the first teams to introduce the short game as well, like, which is going to be interesting next Sunday. I think we might have 2 contrasting styles on Sunday as well. Like, we'd be a much shorter, play a shorter game type, and Kerry would probably be going long, you know, so it'll be interesting.
And they like to keep mentioning that as well. In terms of nerves, I would imagine being in dressing rooms, though, for the next few days, some Donegal lads will be more nervous than others. Others will be, you know, maybe not so nervous. But at the end of the day, I remember even reading, I think, the night before the 97 All-Ireland final, Maurice Fitzgerald didn't actually sleep a wink, but sure, it didn't matter. He kicked, he had one of the finest ever performances in the final. Everybody and every personality is different, aren't they? And it's like going to the dentist. Some people are nervous, some people are not nervous. Some people, if you're going on a plane, are nervous, some are not. And it might not affect performance too much on either side.
Yeah, look, everybody is nervous, like, you know, and I don't think you're not natural if you don't have them. But, you know, I suppose when you are well prepared and you're self prepared as well within yourself, and, you know, that you don't doubt your own ability, which is crucial as well, like, and that you're as good as the man you're meeting, if not better. And you know, that's the way you have to be set up mentally anyway, like. And, you know, we had absolutely no fear of Dublin, contrary to what the rest of the country thought, you know, at the time. And even though we had the support of the rest of the country as well, but we knew, like, and we knew in our hearts and souls, you know, that day going in, like, that we had nothing to fear much. It's just that was how we were going to perform ourselves, like. And to be fair, like, Brian McAniff had as well set up in that regard as well, mentally and physically, you know.
That, I would imagine, why the manager is absolutely key. You mentioned Brian McAniff involved. He'd hand in all the Ulsters from 72 to 92. That's 5, and the All-Ireland 92. And so successful in the business world as well. And he probably gave you that innate confidence. And Jim is absolutely no different, isn't he? You look at Jim and you feel confident. I spoke to him on Monday for a couple of minutes and I felt better leaving his company, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. He's a great man to talk to. You talk to Jim all night, like, and I was lucky enough after the quarter-final night, I had a half an hour with him, you know, and sure, look, you'd love to have 8 hours with him, like, the way, because he uses confidence, like, and
he loves hanging with you, too.
we go back a long way in that there, but, you know, look, it's all about confidence now, like, you know, they have the work done, Paddy, like, we know we have the skill, and we know we have everything, we are as good a footballer as Kerry, if not better, look, maybe we have maybe more scoring power than Kerry, like, but it all boils down to on the day, like, and how you perform on the day, and that your head's right for the day, like, and loads of wee things can creep into games, as you know, like maybe decisions and that. You have to get everything right on the day, you know, and you need the rub of the green as well.
2 weeks isn't... It's not long enough, isn't it, for either camp, really? For a final is what I mean. And I love the split season. I'm a huge fan. I'd endorse it in any way I can. But I would imagine for a final, you would love just one extra week because they're suit fitting. There's so many, you have to organise hotels and you have to... There's so much pageantry to a final, Andy. It's such a different occasion than any other game, isn't it?
Ah, look what it is. And then, you know, you have to deal with the media. Like, you know, everybody's ringing you. Like, but, you know, just going back to 92, like, Brian McAniff would have handled most of that there, barring maybe me. Like, I had to maybe give some interviews with papers, like, but the rest of the lads, like, they were kept away from all that there. And I think that's important, too. I think, you know, just, you know, you have to deal with the media, you know, to be fair to them as well, like, and you have to give them their insights as well. Like, but I think there's a very important, you know, that as a group, like, that you stay clear of as much as that as you can. And the hype is unbelievable now. The hype is starting here, and everybody wants a piece of you as well, like, and just have a few words with you and that there. So you try and shun and stay away from as much as that as possible.
Michael Murphy is another man who has returned this year, and he was capping the course in 2012, and he's been some boost having him back, isn't it? And what he has done to get himself in this shape after his 2 year sabbatical is nothing short of incredible. And I know you're very close to Michael as well, aren't you, and the whole family there?
Ah, sure, without a doubt. Like, and what Michael has done coming back in is just purely phenomenal, you know. And he's in such great shape, like, for being a man of 35. And even, you know, when Michael did hang up the boots 2 years ago, like, people are saying at that stage that he was finished and that he was only maybe a half an hour man, or keep him inside on the square forever. But sure, he's proven all them people wrong, like, and he's having a fantastic year, still a great leader, and it's great to have him out there, you know, just maybe he settles the lads down out there, and you'll always see him pointing here and pointing there and keeping lads on their toes and different things. Sure, he's a huge amount of experience as well, like, and sure, look, he's the best player in Ireland at the minute as well, like, or one of the best.
It says a lot about Paddy McBrearty. He's captain now, and please God he does go on to lift Sam Maguire. And I'm not saying for a moment that anybody coming off the bench wants to be on the bench, but it says a lot about his own mental fortitude. He's not coming off the bench sulking. He's not coming off moaning. He's going in the last two games. He's been absolutely incredible. And Kilcar are proud. We know all about them here in the southwest, Donegal. They're a proud club, wouldn't it be just unbelievable? And they've produced, you would know more of them than I'll ever know, but they've produced so many greats, and he's one of the all-time greats in there, so it'd be great to see him going up those steps, wouldn't it?
No, without a doubt. Like, you know, Paddy McBrearty has been a huge servant to Donegal football as well. Like, and you know, he came on as a 17-year-old away a long, long time. I don't know what year that was, but it was a while ago now. 2011, and Paddy has made a huge contribution to Donegal football. And but you know, it shows you how Jim McGuinness has moulded this group of players again. I think they're carrying 40 or 45 players. I think it's 45, he told me. And Jim said this to me the last night. You know, the harder thing to do, like, you only can name 26, like, and he would like to name the whole lot, like, and but Jim has moulded them all, like, that the whole 45 are so important, like, and they're so important to the Donegal cause, like, and they've bought into that, and they've bought into it really, really well, like, and Paddy McBrearty comes in, he knows that he's still very important to the squad, like, he's Cappuccino as well, like, and he's a huge influence as well in the dressing room and that there. So, look, it's great to have personnel like Paddy, like, that we take in for the last maybe half hour or 35 minutes or whatever, or 20 minutes. And, you know, we have a huge strength and depth in the squad this year, I think, compared to 2014. Yeah. I think we have more strength and depth this year, like, when you can take in the Jason McGee's, the Darrow Beals of this world, the Guido Orman.
Darrow Beals, yeah.
Yeah, and so, look at Jim, you know, Jim has got them, and I think we're coming right at the right time, you know, and we have such pace there, Paddy, that's scary, like, and we have so many lads that can take their own scores as well, like, so, look at, it's not going to be easy, look at, I've always great respect for Kerry, like, and they will be thinking the same as us, you know, they have David Clifford, they have Paddy Clifford, they have Shawnee O'Shea, look at the Joe O'Connor man, so look at, they've plenty pace and speed as well, you know.
How does Jim keep everybody happy? And just I've asked this to 100 people. What actually makes Jim McGuinness such a great manager? Now, some people come back to me and say, oh, he gets people's self-belief and self-confidence and that, but... Yeah, but they're just words. What does he actually do? And Patrick Morgan said to me in the Ulster final last year, he just loves Donegal. Is it his just emotional intelligence, his high IQ, his coaching ability? What exactly makes him, whatever happens on Sunday, what makes him such an incredible manager?
Well, suppose first of all, he's a degree in psychology, and which is very important. We hadn't that like in our time. Like,
could all do with that.
Yeah, we either get our own heads right, like yeah, Byron McEnough giving you a call, like you know. But you know, he's always been a player's man. Do you know, very, very much a player's man, which is very important. And Brian McEnough, I'll go back to him, Brian McEnough was very much a player's man as well, and he always looked out for the welfare of the player, and it didn't matter. County board and county, all that came afterwards, you know, so long as the player was right and the player was happy and the player was looked after. And
right, that's Brian now, so Jim would have learned that.
Jim definitely would have learned that, there's no doubt about that there. And look at, I know that whole squad, like, you know, they just really love Jim McGuinness, like, but sure, who wouldn't, you know, because he's a man of just huge stature, like, and he's huge belief in what he does himself, like, you know, and I was just picking his brain that last night as well, like, and he says to me, you know, that, like, we have all the work done now, but maybe just we have to get a bit of coaching done now, like, and you know, and that, whereby he was telling me, you know, that... you know, the short intervals between games, it wasn't that fair, you know, to him. And he's probably right, because it's again about player welfare. Look, it was a long, long time ago since I heard about player burnout, and that was going on in, when I was playing. Like, and sure, the fixtures people now and the fixtures people in Croke Park, look, at sure, they're really trying to burn us out, you know. And I still think that September is the right time to be playing All Ireland as well. Like, and you always had the hurling, like, on the first Sunday of September, and then you had the Gaelic All Ireland, like, on the third Sunday. And look, it is what it is, like, but I think it felt a bit more natural towards the end of the year, like, to be in the All-Ireland final or whatever, like, but look, it's the way it is, like, but I think it's something we have to look at, Paddy. I think we have to look at our fixture structure, to be fair to our players, because they are professional now, totally, totally professional, like, and them boys are out 7 days a week, not one day a week, they're 7 days a week, where they'd be watching video analysis, ice tubs, or whatever, on the field. And just an example would be I met Paddy and who else was with him the last Thursday night heading to training, and I spoken to Jim Thursday morning. Well, it's going to be 45 minutes tonight on the field, right? And that's it, not 1 second after or before it. But then there'd be a couple hours in, look at the video analysis and everything else, like. So that's where we have reached now, like, you know.
It's really come on, hasn't it? I would imagine from your day. I know, even in here in the homecoming in 2012, we were up in a lorry, and you've given many good orations down your years. That speech you made in that lorry in 2012 when Paddy McGrath got to bring in Sam, and you were just saying, like, even the commitment that was in 2012, even you were like saying, we wouldn't even know half of this. And at your time, the commitment would have been incredible as well. It's even gone on again, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I think, you see... And that's why the great Kerry teams of, you know, of the mid-70s and the 80s, like, they were doing, you know, what probably Jim McGuinness and them were doing to an extent now, you know. And we didn't start that until 91, 92. Like, we only trained two nights a week, like, in my time, for most of the county years up until 92. And from February of 92, we trained three nights, one night without the ball, like. And that was the start. That was the start. And then we started doing bits and pieces of video analysis as well. Like, so it was all new in 92. Like, so, but look at the...
Tape recorders?
It was tape recorders. Like, we didn't have a cinema like what they have now in Conway or anything like that there. Like, but we have a fantastic facility over there too, like, which is great, you know. But look at it. The game is... The bar's raised so much now, Paddy, that it's unbelievable. Like, what these lads are going through, they have to put their own personal lives on hold. Remember, and a lot of people don't know that they have no social life whatsoever. From 16 years of age, once you hit the academy, that's the way you've got to be. You have to put your life on hold, like, if you want to make it as a senior player.
There was And I actually don't mean, like, there was a social life that time, even in the middle of an Ulster championship, wasn't there? I think Tony Boyle, I had him on a podcast a couple of years, and I don't want to take words out of his mouth or misquote him. I think he was caught in a nightclub like 2 weeks before the final or something like that.
Yeah, well, like that, you know, that's the way it was back then. Look at you, you went, you know, after most county games and National League games and even championship games, look at you, went to the pub with your friends after the game. Like, that's no longer the case. Like, you know, there's absolutely none of that now. Like, as I said, it is totally professional. Look at you're put on the bus and you go home, like, and you start the following day again, you know.
I'd say it was hard to get away from McEnough, though. He would have someone, I would imagine, in every corner of the county keeping an eye on you all, would he?
The well, I tell you, you know, there weren't much we done, but he didn't know about anyway. And look at, he's great. I even spoke to Brian there about an hour ago. Look at him, we had a great old chat, you know, about everything. And look at,
how is he?
He's great. He's in great form altogether. Like, and he's looking so much forward to Sunday, you know.
He's the king of Donegal football, isn't he?
Ah, look, he has been. He was the king, like, and, you know, we have the second king now in Jim as well, you know, to be fair. Like, and because I'll always remember, and there weren't too many people, like, 3 years ago in 2023 up in Newry, and, you know, down beat us by 5 points that day up in Newry, and coming down the road, like, you know, we were at a very, very low ebb, you know, and... But thankfully, we got Jim back, and here we are now on Sunday.
Would Jim now be touching base with Brian in these final few days or in between the semi-season final? Probably, I would imagine.
Oh, look at the Brian will give him a ring, or Jim, I think they will, yeah. They'll definitely touch base, like, because they'll be still great friends, you know, and they'll have still a lot in common, too, to talk about, you know. And Jim, or, you know, Brian will be still there for a bit of advice, too, to give him, you know.
You can never get enough advice, can't you, no matter what. How much of a name you are, there's always someone you can go to. And I just love the way even Jim, even at 2012, goes up to Brian, and it's just, it's lovely to see, because these are, and yourself and Michael Murphy and Paddy McBrady, these are massive, these are all giants of Donegal football. Like, I know club football, not people kill each other and all that, but for the greater good of Donegal, these are all Jim, Brian, Murphy, you know, McBrady.
Yeah. I look at it, I think that was, you know, what you're talking about there is down to your managers and that there, you know, that you keep everybody, you keep the squad grounded, like, at all times, like, and to be fair, our squad is very grounded, you know, and every last one of our squad, you know, they talk like Jim, do you know, they, you know, and they talk the talk, and so you know where they're coming from, like, and but you know, them boys all know, like, they all know their jobs, like, and they know what's expected, and you know, the hard training's done now, and they'll probably work on maybe some, maybe tactical stuff now, and maybe if ever a couple of sessions have left, you know, and maybe see what they're going to do, like, maybe to curtail Clifford or wherever, look, but that's what they'd be working on now, and hopefully it'll all work out first on Sunday, Paddy, you know.
It's a special thing, isn't it? I would imagine it must be phenomenal playing for Donegal, because everybody that goes to the matches and they see the former players, once you've played for the county, that's it, you've played for this massive institution. And I know some people ask then, oh, do you miss playing or do you miss playing? But I met Eamon McGee in the Crow Park Hotel the last day, and geez, he wanted them to win as much as from when he was playing. I've been on commentary with Mark McHugh, and people used to ask him, do you miss playing, Mark? And of course he does, but by Jesus, his brother's playing, and he is just dying for the codges. Or when you finish playing, you just become such a supporter, don't you?
Ah, look, you know, we all miss playing, like, and suppose nothing will ever substitute playing, like, and, you know, you still miss the roar going out onto the field and all that there, but, you know, I haven't missed a game now in a long time, like, and I just, you know, I love watching the games and that there, and look at, I just go there, look, to support my team, like, and I do know, like, the maybe the pitfalls that are there, that it doesn't happen every day for every player, and I've been there myself, look at, and I'd been on losing sides myself too, but...
You played on great teams that... I remember when Anthony Daly made the speech in 95. I was actually watching your own one yesterday as well. Unbelievable. And Anthony Daly, and you said it as well, and I love that. For all the great players that played for this county that never got a chance to play in this, and you and Daly, maybe only one or two other captains in the 90s said it, I think that's a lovely thing to say, because so many great, you've played in great teams that never, and I would imagine you mentioned the 80s, that never got to walk out in All-Ireland final day.
Oh, look, without a doubt, like, and I just go back to when I started, like, we had a fantastic team in 83, like, you had God rest Martin Griffin, Mickey Lafferty, Brendan Levy, Michael Carr, you know, we had so many, many good players at that time, and I think they came about 7 of us in off the under 21 team the previous year, and like, look, we had good teams, like, but we just couldn't get there, you know. And look at, you know, I often think of them lads, you know. And all Irons are hard to win, Paddy. You know, they don't fall out of the sky. Look at, and you have to work for them, like, and you know, and everything has to fall right as well, like. And if you look at, often think about Mayo, and you know, many All Irelands they have lost, like, between minors, seniors, and under 20s, like. And I often think about that. They're even, they're starting to compare Galway now a wee bit, like Mayo, like, they, you know, I've seen a lot of people giving out about their manager there yesterday. And, you know, I'd be sorry for, you know, managers these days, because there's no cliche, look at, you know, you're only as good as your last game, and that's for a manager and a player as well, by the way.
There's no doubt about that. I'm not going to keep you too much longer. I know you're busy. We're 25 minutes in. You mentioned you love going to games. I've seen you at matches, and everybody wants a picture with Anthony Molloy, and everyone gets a picture with Anthony Molloy, and everyone gets a signature. I was going to say he'll need bodyguards, but I see the chief with you the last day, so he's home as well on sabbatical, is he? Are all the Molloys coming home?
They're all here. They'll be all here for the game. And I look at it, as I said, look at, I'm grateful, like, you know, for what I achieved, and I was always very lucky that I had massive support, you know, and huge support from my own club here in particular, like, and all around the county, like, and that's still there to this day, which is great. Like, so I must have done something right, Paddy.
I think you've done more than one thing right. Mary Coughlin mentioned it Monday, and when I put out these podcasts, as I said, when I walk around Ardra, I think people are trying to actually get away from me, but no, when we put out the podcast, the diaspora, the amount of messages I get. I got a lovely message from Maeve O'Donnell from Ardra, of course, married to Marty Hearn, and there's people over in London that message me a lot, and in America, and sometimes there's a tear in their eye hearing the Donegal players talking after a game, because they're away and they want to feel that connection to home. And you're very aware. I mean, you suppose have been tough in that house in Limagowrie. So many people emigrated back in the 80s, I think around the 1 year, didn't they, Auntie? So you're very, very aware of what this means, a day like All-Ireland final day, to those people away.
Sure, it's massive, Paddy, and I would have witnessed that emigration. Like, I think there were 8 of my family in New York in 1986, and of the summer of New York, like, and we lost about half a club team in 81, like, went to New York, and so if one leaves, you know, a lot of people follows, like, and but you know, it's great for the diaspora now, and the people that's away from home, like, if they can't make it back, like, to still see the games and all that there, you know, and due to different technology now and everything else, and I know the brothers used to tell me way back when they wanted to see a game in the early 80s, like, they'd pay something like 25 euro or something, or a dollar, like, to go to a certain venue, like, but that's all changed now, like. But I tell you, you know, we have people all over the world, as you're after saying. We have people in Australia, Dubai, New York, London, Scotland, like, and we have lost a lot to immigration, but thankfully, look at all these people, if they come home, they get a ticket, and if they can't, they'll see the game anyway.
When you won in 92, you brought the cup over, was it a couple of weeks or a couple of months after?
I'll never forget that trip either. We left on the 4th of December, like, and we toured 4 cities in 6 days with Sam, like, and that was tough going, myself and the wee man Martin McHugh, and it was heavy going, like, and that went on for 6 months around that time, Paddy. It was unbelievable stuff, and I was doing the schools during the day as well, the national schools and secondary schools, like, for about 6 months, but it was a great time, like, and it's a time I will never forget, and it's a day I'll definitely never forget, like, when I went up the Hogan Stands. They don't go up the Hogan Stand anymore, like, but it's a day I'll never forget, like, and it's a day I'm always very, very proud to think back on.
My own father always said, when Upper Glen Gesh, you were just incredible with your time. You epitomise every value that the GAA should stand for. My own grandfather wouldn't be able to go to the games of Paddy Swine up Glen Gesh, and you'd be out farming, and you'd be coming back from training. I don't even know what you were driving at the time, early 90s. You'd stop for half an hour, and you'd be a busy man. The world's become so individual now, and it can't be easy giving that time to everybody, and you're still doing it today.
Ah, look at it. I think it's an important part of the setup as well, and if people are prepared to come along and support you on a Sunday or a Saturday or whatever, like, playing for your county or playing for your club, it's important that you do give people their time, and that's one thing I always made sure I did. And which I think is very important, and it's particularly very, very important for the younger generation, you know, that if all the younger people have all the idols out there, you know, and it's important, it's an important part of the setup that you do give people your time.
Martin McQuay, beg your pardon, often said the 92 All-Ireland was nearly for the older generation, wasn't it? And 2012 was kind of for the younger, and now the kids going to games, is that the levels are off the charts. Now, isn't it fabulous to see? And I hope so many of them can get sorted for a ticket, because I know finals are just that bit harder. There's more neutrals and there's more corporate and everything. It's tough going, isn't it?
Paddy, I think I can plunk tickets. I'm just inundated with calls, you know. But
I can't imagine. Your phone rang here. You've been on silent about five times in the last half hour.
I think at the end of the day, you know, everybody will get a ticket, you know. And that's, I know people do panic early on, like in the early stages, like, but I think everybody will get a ticket somewhere, you know. And we have a lot of contacts all around the country, and hopefully we'll get there, you know. But look, it's another huge day for us, and it's a great day to be there, you know.
Two more questions, and I promise you this one. The match itself, how do you actually see it going? And
I definitely hope we won, and I think we can win. And again, it's all down to a performance. And I think we have raised the bar in our last two games. And I think if we can reproduce our second half display, and that won't be easy for 7 minutes, like in both games, the game against Louth as well, but we need to be at that standard to beat Kerry, and I think we are where we are now, and I think we if we can keep the momentum going, carry on from where we left off in that second half against Meath, which we need to be at to beat Kerry, good Kerry side, and a lot of people giving out about Kerry down Kerry this year, you know, as well. And I think the day that Meath beat them, it really stung them, and they've come back and proven people wrong as well, you know. So look, it'll make for a great, great game, you know, and an entertaining game, and a lot of natural flair out there from both teams, and natural football ability. And look, all we want is to be on the right side, be a point or two.
And I promise this is the second last one. There isn't, we said this on Monday night as well, there's no in between, isn't there? It'll be, for some of those players, the best day, the football day of their lives, and for some of them it'll be the worst. It's a great occasion, but yeah. Jesus, ruthless as well.
It'll probably, it'll be a fairy tale story for Michael Murphy, you know, after being away for 2 years to come back and win an All-Ireland, like, and that's fairy tale stuff, you know. And the likes of Ryan McHugh as well, there's some of these lads around a while, but we're a fair average, like, we're a young side, you know. And it's just that we have 10 steps of that rung taken on that ladder. We have to get up to another one and over the next rung on Sunday. And I know if we can perform the way we can perform, we definitely will win.
Yeah. You said anything can happen. What will it mean to you, Anthony Molloy, and watching Donegal, and if they are to go on, if they are? It's a massive, massive... It's a massive ask for both counties. I think we could be in for one of the greatest finals in the past 15 or 20 years. And who knows, we might even be coming back for a second day. God help us if we are. But yeah.
Overall, this year, I think the championship has been great. Yeah. And I think the new rules have worked. One or two maybe I don't agree with. But overall, the new rule changes have definitely worked. Look, we have high-scoring games, like, and a lot of great scores, like, and all that there. But now, Paddy, I'm not a great supporter, like, and at the end of the day, like, if things are tight, like, I just can't look out there either, you know. But that's the way, that's me, like. But you know, I hope it's not that tight going up the straight, like. I hope we're ahead before 5 only in the last couple of minutes, Paddy. That's all I'll say, you know, because my nerves won't be great now at that stage.
My own are not great. What day are you going up to Dublin on the Saturday?
We're going up on the Saturday, yeah. I just like it. I think, you know, these kind of weekends don't come around, you know, all that much. And you'd hope to be there every year, but that's not the way it works out. Like, and just to go up and enjoy the whole location. Like, it's a massive occasion for Donegal here, and a massive occasion for our footballers too, like, in Jim. Massive occasion for everybody, for people all over the world looking on as well.
Anthony Molloy, a gentleman and the first ever man from Tyrconnell to lift Sam Maguire in those September steps way back in 1992. You're always so, so kind with your time, and I know everybody in Donegal GAA looks up to you. And have a great weekend in Dublin, Anthony, and all the best. And I'm like you, I'm a really, really, really bad supporter as well, but we have to keep it together, man.
Thanks very much, Paddy. Great talking to you.
God bless. Okay, Anthony Molloy there in the penultimate pre-match podcast ahead of Sunday's final. And tomorrow we will have our final thoughts podcast, which we aim to release early in the morning. A massive thanks to our sports editor and producer, Austin O'Callaghan, back at base, and to you, our loyal listeners. Bye for now. Stay safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow.